Welcome in, everybody. It is Inside the Gamecocks, the show. We are live from the mountains to the sea in the great state of South Carolina, coast to coast, nationwide, and worldwide via the Chief Sports Network app. I am Phil Mad Dog Mullinax, cutting through the orange fog of the upstate of South Carolina. And as always, my co-host JC Scherer joins. Welcome in, JC. Good to see you, man.
Yeah, well, you just saw me, Phil.
I know. Yeah, well, you know, for the podcast.
See you again for the podcast audience. Yes, welcome in.
The smoke and mirrors.
And the smoke and mirrors, all that good stuff. This is Inside the Gamecocks, the show portion. It's called the Big Spur Hour.
The Big Spur Hour.
That is Mad Dog Mullinax, and he already introduced me, so we don't have to go through all that again. Anyway, baseball coaching search sizzled a little bit out there on the internet today. Certainly glad that you joined us. Going right to the McKellar Enterprises chat box on this terrible Taco Tuesday. Our man Latte Lance checks in from coffee this morning, JC. I have a feeling on the two in-state guys as well. Call me crazy, but Segura and Bryant will be Gamecocks. You know, Chad Simmons put out yesterday, he kind of hinted that he thought the Gamecocks were, or actually said it. He said, I think the Gamecocks will get Segura in the end. He cited the legacy connection. Jaden Bryant, they're recruiting him like he's uncommitted. They're going to keep working him. Nate Carson from Irmo, his teammate, the offensive lineman. It's Gamecocks in Tennessee. I think Carolina feels pretty good about where they stand. There's work to do, obviously, with all these guys. Lance mentions Frederick Ards, Jaden Bryant, together with Julian Walker in 2027 is going to be a show. Yeah. I mean, that's a good group. That's a good group. So, wanted to get back to something Kreger mentioned earlier. Blah, 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 blah. Harrison said there's going to be a military presence in Oxford. No doubt. So Kreger brings an interesting point. Have y'all thought about how much money will be freed up next season when Sellers, Harbor, Peak, and Stewart are gone? He said that's probably $8 or $9 million. It gives us a chance to offer Dobson and bigger recruits more money. Well, it's about seven, not quite eight or nine, but they're still not, you know, unless you're Marcus Lattimore or Adrian Peterson, smart programs, Georgia, the two-time defending SEC champions included, they're not going to overpay for a kid. You're not handing Josh Dobson $1 million. I mean, you're just not doing it. I don't think he's commanding that. But where you want to have those resources, though, Craig, and where you're correct, is that like when you get within a couple of hundred grand, right? You know, you pay a guy four versus two. That's double, right? Another school is going to throw four at him because it's not a lot off your bottom line when you're talking about $30+ million rosters, right? Mm-hmm. But you're sitting there and you just don't have it because you're trying to fit everything in like a puzzle, and you got all the auto, you know, you got these guys you're paying big money to that eat a lot of that up. Absolutely, it gives you more flexibility. And they're battling A&M with Dobson and Ards both, and from my understanding, you know, there's not a huge money difference with those two. But there's still a point where you just go, we'll save it. We'll sign three guys. One of them will probably be better than you are anyway, when all said and done, just numbers-wise.
We're finished.
Go be special halfway across the country, and we'll see you in the portal in a couple of years. That's how you got to handle it if you're serious about winning. You know, these other schools that pretend they're serious about winning and hand a bunch of money to recruits and it gets public and you see it. Those recruits, you don't hear from them for years.
No.
You know, because then it's about that, those programs that spend like that going and buying other people's players out of the portal. And so now they're going to be great. And now they're going to win the national title. Well, what about that $1.6 million you paid that five-star defensive lineman a couple of years? Where's he? Why did you sign this many defensive tackles out of the portal?
He's at South Carolina. His name's Gabriel Brownlow Dente.
I
don't know how much they paid him, but
I think you're an example of them. Got a bargain with Gabe, to be honest with you. But look, man, I mean, so that's the thing. But you make a great point, Craig, is that, and I haven't, I got enough to think about now these days without thinking a lot about the 2027 football roster. But I did start thinking about it today because I'm just a sick person like that. Let's just say this is the year. Okay, if you're going to turn this thing and do something special, I don't give a flip what happened last year, you know, as it relates to this guy. I do give a flip. It should never happen again. It doesn't buy anybody a lot of goodwill, right, when you're talking about the future. But when you look at this roster this year and then you look at who could leave in terms of NFL and who's good enough to do it, this is the year. Right. It's not a year to go to the Liberty Bowl. If you're being truthful about, like, when do you take that next step? I'm not saying they can't take it down the road. Just with the portal and everything, the way these guys recruit, you know, the idea is to be pretty good every single season. But this group right here, when you're just talking about guys that are draft eligible next spring that have a shot at getting a good, not just a shot, but probably will get drafted. There's a lot of them. It's over double digits. And you got good recruits coming in. You know, guys like Julian Walker and Jazavian Currents aren't your normal freshmen. They're guys that are advanced enough to come in and help you, and they're super talented. You know, you got a third-year starting quarterback. You know, you look at the running back room pre-spring, and you're probably going, well, we were all talking about if Jawaan Howell would start or not, and all of a sudden, like, the consensus. I haven't even talked about this that much. You know, I'm the first person to blow the trumpet on a good player, right? And Matt Fuller apparently's got a lot of it to him. You know, you look at the middle of that defense with the D tackles and linebackers Carolina's got back. I mean, so I haven't thought about 2027 a whole lot, but I did think about it, Craig. And there's going to, you know, a little bit today, and there's going to be a lot of needs, right? So I say all that to say, this coming year, they've got a shot. This is their shot. I mean, it doesn't matter. You can talk about hot seat. They can talk about Beamer this, Beamer that. They can stay mad and pissed off and upset and blame the football team for the basketball team's work troubles and the baseball situation and all that. They can just be mad, and that's fine with me, because by God, if anybody deserves to be a little sour, it's Gamecock fans.
That's right.
After what happened last season. And it's not, there's no excuse for what happened last season. But taking that out of it and just looking at this team, this team has a shot. This team doesn't have very many positions where you kind of scratch your head. I mean, we're all sitting here kind of wondering about the safeties, because the returning starter, Peyton Williams, wasn't Nick Emenwori last year. And he's gotten better. You know, we're all sitting here worried about the backup cornerbacks, right?
Worried about depth in the defensive secondary right now.
Now, I don't get concerned about special teams, you guys know, until 10 days before.
I had a little bit of that creep into my head drinking coffee this morning.
Now, I'll tell you this. I've thought this, and I should probably not even repeat it. There's probably going to be something that falls on my house because I say it. I was like, wouldn't it be something if Carolina's offense and defense is good, and for whatever reason, they're atrocious on special teams this year for the first time, you know? Because they haven't, you know, the kicking game has been an issue, Phil.
Yeah.
But they've had returners, and they've, you know, they don't always get blocked, and you know, you don't always judge, I guess, the special teams by how many fakes you convert, because those are low percentage plays anyway, and you're never going to get what you got in 22 where it seemed like every fake worked. But, you know, they've covered kicks well. I mean, you know, I remember – not too long ago, Carolina punts the ball to somebody fast. You just hold your breath.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, they only got to the 40?
Yeah, hope they trip.
That's good. You know, you kick it off to somebody. It's just, you're just holding your breath all the time. But anyway, so we'll talk about special teams in August. But I do think that this roster, you know, again, sometimes good things happen because of bad things. Last season was a bad thing, but Sellers is back. You know, there's a new offensive coordinator that makes sense. You know, they needed to probably after last year revamp the offensive line room, coaching, players, the whole thing. Yeah. It needed to be revamped, and they did. I don't know what kind of success they'll have, but you know, there's that. But so yeah, this year, this coming year in football, it's I don't want anybody, I don't expect anybody to get super excited and start predicting championships. I don't think anybody needs to do that. I'm just saying that when you compare this group and then you project out to 2027, as far as who's good and could leave, and not even through the portal, just to the NFL, you right. know, it's plentiful. It's plentiful. And those guys are all going into their third year at least, Phil, because you gotta be in your third year in college before you go to the NFL. Yeah. So,
well, you don't want the narrative surrounding this season to mirror the one that's happening with our friends up here, right? Like, look at all these draft prospects, or, you know, draftees they had, and a lackluster season that put them all in there, right? Like, and we've seen it here before too, JC, is that we've had talented guys on teams and just couldn't put it together. Will Muschamp, I mean, was king of bringing in great players, like, who went on and moved on to the next level, but just could not put the entire product on the field consistently enough to have solid seasons, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you don't want to see that. I think it's one of the reasons too why, you know, Coach Beamer feels so confident to speak the way he does to the public and the fans and the media, saying, hey, yeah, this is, you know, we got a team that could head to the playoffs this season.
You're better. It's like when you look at your friend, like, you're better than that, dude.
You're better than that, dude. Yeah, that's right. You're better than that. Yeah,
and they are. I mean, I think so. We'll see. I mean, I don't mean to sound overly confident. That has nothing to do with my confidence, wins and loss wise, with the season. It just has more to do with the roster and saying, look,
yeah,
this year it's set up pretty well. I mean, all things considered, you know, and after spring, you know, like, so you get Caleb Herring out of the portal, Phil. I know Caleb Herring can rush the passer. I've seen him rush the passer since high school. I've seen a few good run plays against the run at Tennessee when I've watched him on film. What I didn't know is, could he set the edge? Could he defend the run at a high level? And, you know, I'm going to harp on that. Well, every piece of public and private feedback we've gotten from spring has been, he's actually really good.
Yeah. Right.
You know, Julian Walker, a lot of folks were like, and I said the same thing. Can he gain the bulk? Can he get out there and physically handle it? You know, and again, he's a good pass rusher. That guy is has weight wise is the biggest edge Carolina's got at 260.
Yeah.
Answers to questions like that, to me, you know, were important. And so then after spring, you go back and you reassess, and because you're always, like, when you're talking about roster in the off season, what you're doing is looking for answers to questions, because you're looking to see, you know, who's replacing this guy or who's going to step up here. You're plugging holes. Everybody does it. Coaches do it. Every program in the country does it. And you look and you go, well, yeah, there's a chance there. I mean, there's some pitfalls. Don't get me wrong. Offensive line's one of them. Depth at corner, you know, is going to be young and inexperienced. Talented, but young and inexperienced. Kazi Barnes, true freshman, is probably going to get some run there this year. Tristan Lewis is going to get some run there. We don't know if Jalua Solomon will be healthy or not. DeMarcus Leach is there, but that's it behind Swain and Collier.
Yeah.
You know, the good news is, Torian Gray, right? Torian Gray.
I know.
So, I don't know, man. I don't know. All right, we're going to get through the rest of the McKellar. Great question, Craig. Mm-hmm. Craig brings the thunder.
Out here shaking.
Right off the bat. All right, let's get to a break, Philip.
Yeah, we could do that.
Do a break. I actually got to put a story live on thebigspur.com. And it's from Jamie Bradford about the baseball search. So all of you that aren't members, go.
Hey, all right.
And check it out. It's an intel report. Ooh, intel report. My intel says get feed of these wings tonight for Taco Tuesday, Phil.
Good day. Good day. Good Taco Tuesday. Get down there. I haven't been. I imagine it's got to be, what, street tacos, right? They're not doing like the white people taco night, as they say. It's not Old El Paso.
Probably. Dude, don't talk to me about Old El Paso.
Oh, I love
that. I've got to go to the mother-in-law's for dinner tonight.
Oh.
Chicken basil.
Nice.
I'm not in the mood for time. Maybe I'll actually eat lunch today. I'm not as hungry. I'll go over there. Give me a little I was reading an article about, God, it was in Slate, of all things.
Oh, wow. Is that still around?
Yes. Like I read about politics a lot. It's kind of a hobby. But I don't think it serves anybody to just read, like, right or left wing. I think it's good to read both because you start to get a sense of how just insane some of them are on either side.
Yeah, you have to consume red and blue news.
Yeah, you gotta kind of, and then you just gotta make up your own mind. But isn't Slate is about the downfall of Wendy's? And I started thinking about just how delicious Wendy's used to be, and now how what they do makes no sense. Like they were talking about how they have five types of chicken products now. Dave Thomas, when he started it, you know, he dropped out of high school.
That doesn't surprise me.
High school dropout. Sold some KFCs. And then started Wendy's, dude.
No, I'm just doing a burger joint
in Ohio. But he just basically had burgers and chili. You know, that was it. It was simple. It's simple. It's Simon's, you know. But, and I was complicated. It just makes me want to throw up some of these things. These private equity and all these suit people that take over these beloved companies.
That's right.
Anyway, that's a long way of saying I may order me some chili from Wendy's today. That's just pretty good stuff.
Yeah, it's a good way of saying that.
Chili and a baked potato, dude. Baked potato.
Go support your local business owner at D's tonight for dinner.
Yes. You don't go to Wendy's. Let me do it.
So. Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, they redid the spicy chicken sandwich. That's another favorite of mine. I'm not doing it. I'm not. Why? Why mess with that masterpiece?
I don't understand why they try to revamp things that are already good. It makes no sense. Other than you know what's driving it is, you know, how many more pennies can we make off this sandwich?
It's that, and then it's like there's so much bloat in companies now that you have these marketing people that get these jobs, and it's like, why am I sitting with my hand on my chin today? I just noticed that. Kind of weird.
You're wearing that green shirt, and
I think
head with the hand.
For a company like Wendy's, that's at its best when it sticks to the basics. I just think they get bored. Hey, let's redo the chicken sandwich.
Yeah, you know what?
Shouldn't we have done that during the great chicken sandwich wars between Popeyes and Chick-fil-A a few years ago to take advantage of that?
Huh?
Silence.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, we'll be right back on the show.
TheBigSpur.com, now part of On3. Join for just $1 today.
The State Farm Personal Price Plan helps you create an affordable price just for you.
Contact local agent Gary Patterson for your personal price plan today.
When you buy and sell your sports and fitness gear at Play It Again Sports, you support a local business. We pay our customers for their quality used sports and fitness gear and resell it, recycling it back into your community. Support local, score savings.
So, Mason, what do you focus on in the law? My answer to that is I'm a personal injury lawyer. I like to help people that are injured as a result of somebody else's negligence or in a workers' compensation matter get back to normal. That's where my passion is. But what I want everyone out there to understand is more important to me is that I'm your trusted resource for any problem that you may have.
Visit westlawfirmsc.com.
Palm Casual Patio Furniture presents our coverage of South Carolina baseball and softball. Visit palmcasual.com today. Make your outdoor space the best it can be.
The State Farm Personal Price Plan helps you create an affordable price just for you.
Contact local agent Gary Patterson for your personal price plan today.
Coffee, weekday mornings with J.C. Sherbert. Watch or listen on the Chief Sports app, the Chief Sports YouTube page, and available on Apple and Spotify. Visit GamecockTraditions.com and get your gear today. They'll ship it to your doorstep. Go Gamecocks.
For over 80 years, the West Law Firm has delivered hard work, honest advice, and real results, and is a law firm built on family that delivers for families in South Carolina. They represent clients through personal injury, criminal defense, car, DUI, and boating accidents, and more. Built on blue collar, representing blue collar, the West Law Firm understands the importance of dedication and experience needed for representation, but with a foxhole mentality. Visit WestLawFirmSC.com. WestLawFirmSC.com. Get comfortable with our team and learn why we should be a part of yours when you need us. Go Gamecocks!
If you have experienced water damage, storm damage, fire or smoke damage, or need mold remediation, you need RestoPros of the Midlands. Visit RestoProsMidlandsSC.com and go Gamecocks!
It's the Carpocalypse at JT's Jeep Ram. The sale to end all sales. We're slashing prices like there's no tomorrow.
Save thousands on a new Ram as you escape the zombie horde. Light duty, heavy duty, quad cab, crew cab, power, style, and loaded with big tech.
$1,000 in gas for every new vehicle. 300 cars before the end of the month. Are you kidding me? Everything must go. Now! JT's Carpocalypse. Hurry to JT's Jeep Ram.
Declaration of Deals event.
Hey folks, it's Mike Morgan for Ryan Brewer Fence. That's right, you know the former Gamecock legend as a terrific college football player. Well, I know him as that too. I also know him as the guy that runs a great business. Whether you're in the market for a fence, railings, columns, or anything in between, their craftsmanship, their experience and service, second to none. Residential and commercial fencing and railings. Rest assured, your job will be done with an unparalleled level of expertise, and it's done on time, and they do it right the first time. Again, you're not going to do any better than Ryan Brewer, Ryan Brewer Fence. The website is ryanbrewer.net. Set up an appointment today. Tell them Mike sent you.
I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Emergencies and accidents happen. When you're in the middle of a fire or water event, all you want is for things to return to normal as soon as possible. Resto Pros of the Midlands is with you. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Open 24/7 when you need them. Quality that is guaranteed.
This seems about right.
The show loves Spartanburg. Now back to Mad Dog and Sparkle City's finest, J.C. Sherbert.
Welcome back, everybody. Inside the Gamecocks, the show here. Rolling on a terrible Tuesday, or Taco Tuesday is a good way to turn it around. But, we've been talking some, I don't know, we've been all over the place today, J.C. Even in the morning show, we were talking about, you know, agents and contracts and coaches, obviously being driven by the baseball coaching search right now. Some good stuff on there on thebigspur.com. Join for a dollar for the next 3 months if you haven't already. So that's a good way to get things moving and get caught up. It's a good time to join for a dollar because, you know, JC, coaching searches drive a lot of website business. Everybody wants to know what the latest is, who can put the pieces together fast enough to see who the hire actually will be. What are we hearing in the background? What is everybody saying in the foreground? It's a fun time to join. So come be a part of the Big Spur community in on three network. Yes. Now, sorry, I got distracted by, you know, squirrel. ABD kicked in there. Yeah, but yeah, only a buck. Head on over.
Did we actually take a double break that time or no?
We did. We did.
Okay. I didn't know. Well, yeah, we just released an article. JB has a intel briefing on the baseball search that just dropped, by the way. That's what I was distracted by.
And that's what I was trying to get around to before I got distracted.
Yeah, it's like, okay, so here we go.
Very professionally done open here on ITG, the show. But that's why you tune in.
Absolutely, Philip. Absolutely. Let's get back to the McKellar Enterprises chat box.
Yeah, man.
So, Lance has some things to say. Latte Lance. I'm drinking the Happy Lattes and the Pride of 843. Lenore Sellers is about to do something. And then he talks about Mason Love on the leg of destiny. We shall turn destiny. And he said, we have a daggum good roster, and it's wild that we finally have a decent offensive coordinator, good defensive coordinator. This could be a turning point. It's set up to be. I mean, you still got to go do it. But I think on paper, you know, you look at it and you're like, well, you know, there's less what ifs, you know. But they're honest to God, there, guys, there weren't a lot of what ifs last year. Because you expected some of these guys, especially up front on offense, to be better. And for the life of me, none of us, including apparently Shane Beamer, thought that, you know, the Mike Shula was going to kind of run it like he did. And I think everybody just kind of thought, well, the previous season ended pretty well. Let's just keep it rolling. You know, everybody. I mean, that's it was a lot different. And that's the thing people don't realize too. It's like, you know, I was under the impression Shula was just going to say, all right, well, we'll just keep the same playbook and, you know, keep it going. I don't know that they have the option to really keep the same playbook, but they keep it going, you know, keep it rolling with the say Lenore's second year in the system. It ended up being a completely different system with different terminology. And that's not super secret inside intel. Beamer talked about that. There was a quote from him. He's like, every day I'm asking Mike Shula, what's this called and what's that called? And what? So, I mean, so basically Lenore Sellers had 2 years in Loggins' system. Okay. Which was easy to learn. Probably not the easiest to execute from a quarterback standpoint. Spencer Rattler was good at executing it because Spencer Rattler was pretty advanced as far as, you know, being as far as quarterbacking by the time Dowell came along. You know, said a year's the backup learning it, and then it took him a few games, and had he not gotten hurt against LSU, it probably he'd have gotten it quicker. And so he's comfortable with it. And so then everybody thinks, oh, they're just gonna do the same thing. It's fine. That's an acceptable. I mean, Dowell's offense was certainly acceptable. And then they proceed to do why I've always been against quote unquote pro style offenses. That they did exactly that. It didn't work. Just didn't work.
Yeah.
And so now he's learning Kendall Brown's system, which is very quarterback friendly. And you know, I think with Lenoris, it's a matter, Phil, of him just mastering like I said, the RPOs and all that good stuff. When to give, when to pull, when to run, when to throw, that kind of thing. It's option-esque football. I don't know that Lenore's has ever been great at that because Loggins ran some triple option stuff left over from kind of Arkansas. And and certainly the few times they did RPO stuff last year didn't, you know, there was some time. So he's that's something if you're looking for something that 16 has to work on or that I think he should work on. I mean, he may have mastered it in the spring. I haven't heard that he had, but. You know, I'm not criticizing him, but that's something to me that's a big key next year. And I kind of
making the right reads and
yeah, I kind of like look at Indiana and how beneficial it was that Mendoza was
yeah
making the right reads. So
Yeah. It can be helpful. It's, I think, you know, early in his career, his tendency was just, you know, pull it and go. Right, just use his athleticism with his legs and be able to make it happen. Yeah, and that worked
last year. Sometimes he gave it when he should have pulled and stuff.
Right,
like that. And that's happened a few times, but that's also something that you just have to work on. You know,
yeah. You have to rep it.
And last year, I don't think it was a huge part of the offense. It's like one of the things they did. And Lenoris did say in the press conference this spring that Bryles is more of a just go play. Yeah. And that is it. Just go play. You go fast and go play. If you think about it, though, if Lenore Sellers can master that and he gets really, really good, and I've seen a lot of quarterbacks in this system get really, really good at that.
Mm-hmm.
And you got speed and playmakers at receiver. You got a freaking Nick Harbor. You got good, versatile tight ends. You apparently are better at running back than we all thought. And you got that locomotive back there. Faster than a speeding bullet,
right?
Quarterback, and you're running tempo to where it makes it very, very difficult for the defense to get set. To get set first and foremost, but then also to stunt and disguise and all that. It's like Mangus told us that they're in base; they're just at their base defense. And so I think last year, you know, Carolina gave the defense every opportunity to guess right.
Yeah, right.
Huh. By God, they did many times, Phil. So, you know, I think that's a big key as far as, you know, just how good do you want, how good does Carolina want to be next year? That's the thing. It's like, how good, what is the goal to get to a playoff? Well, then some of these things that, you know, with the quarterback and everybody else, you can't just be competent at it.
Right.
You got to take it up a notch, you know, in games, and that's it. I don't know, you know, how capable are they of, you know, because people are like, how good do they want to be? That sounds like I'm just kind of calling my shot. That's not true. I mean, it's like, I think there's enough talent on this roster to be a bowl team again. And I think with a reasonable amount of improvement at different spots, you're going to get there. I mean, Carolina, really, there's three games they should have won last season. Four, maybe.
Yeah.
Shane Beamer would probably argue there's a bunch because they're in the games in the four. A lot of those games were very competitive. But, you know, so that you want 7-5, 8-4, if that's the goal or if that's good enough, then, you know, Carolina, they can probably get by without some of this mastering of stuff. But if they want to be really good, you know, they're going to have to do that. And that's a big key to the offseason. That's hard. That's hard for football teams. Hard. It's not that's not hard at all. Is that the dog? Did I just hear your dog?
It's my coffee mug. It rubbed against the table.
Oh.
And it sounded, yeah, I was like, oh, I bet that sounded
interesting. He's got a dang good dog. It's the most friendly thing ever.
Oh, yeah, he's a good old dog. He's sitting right over there. He just sits there and watches me do this every day.
Yeah. Red sleeps next to him. He takes his senior nap in the afternoon. Lance is like, which of the backup corners have an ultra high ceiling? Just young. I like where Tristan Lewis is right now. Causey Barnes, though, to me would have the highest ceiling. They're both pretty good. But Causey is another example of a guy like, And I don't know that he's going to play as much as Julian Walker and maybe a Currents, but Causey was a good player at Greensboro Grimsley who just got better and better and better and better and better. And when we were talking to Charles Power last week, he mentioned that. Like the guys in South Carolina, now Causey's from North Carolina, but same kind of path that play their best football at the end, have a very low bust rate, and many, many times they make an impact sooner rather than later. And Barnes had that kind of journey. You know, he was kind of like a high three, you know, what I call a bonus three-star. A three-star guy with length and some good, got some really good tools, could be elite, just not quite there for four-star status yet. And then he quickly went to four stars. Miami and everybody else was trying to flip him from Carolina. Hope is in the chat box. Hey, everyone. Hello, Hope. Lance feels the O-line is way, way more in your face with the gritty dudes. Yeah, I'll take that. You know, even if they're not very good, I'll just take tough guys.
Yeah.
Give me some tough
nasty
guys. Blake says over under a 5.5 forced fumbles from Harbor this year. Nick Harbor as the gunner. I'd take the over.
Yeah.
I think that guy, you know, and that's another special thing about Nick Harbor. World-class athlete, all that good stuff, five-star prospect. Most of those guys aren't playing special teams,
man, no,
in their third year of the program, but he is.
Definitely not showing up on tape doing it, you know? Oh, yeah. I mean, but yeah, you turn on the Harbor tape, a lot of that's on special teams.
And Lance said it's time to hand all the kicking duties to the leg of destiny. He is the chosen one.
The chosen one.
Yeah, the chosen one.
I love it.
What are we going to do with in the Revenge of the Sith episode when Mason Love's legs are on fire? And
he should have had the high ground.
Upton Bellefonte said, you were the chosen one.
With the chosen one.
I
think Bellefonte, like, I realize there's competition, right? There's going to be competition. I don't think you bring in a redshirt senior, right, to just compete without, you know, the intent of having him compete to the point where he's the starting place
kicker. I was hopeful he would have a better. He didn't run away with it. So
no, and that's the other concerning side is there was, you know, a player added to the roster post spring practice who is a place kicker.
More competition, like, yeah, man. Yeah,
more competition. So what are we gonna do? Yeah. It would be nice though if we just had a guy that kicked the ball, like if it was Mason Love and the leg of destiny to do the punting and the place kicking. But I understand the thoughts of wanting to have two different legs do those jobs.
Absolutely. Russell's going to hear the coaches talk tonight. Russell, I think it's who is it? It's Torian Gray and is Matthew Smiley up at Anderson tonight? Gamecock Club? Oh, yeah, assistant coaches are over there. You should go over there, Phil, and check. Yeah,
let me see if I got it.
Okay, let's see. Phil's checking his schedule.
Yeah, hold on. Let me go see what's going on.
So that's good, man. Yeah, those are actually some of the best ones where you get the assistants. They're good at talking. Lance says there are more answers than questions on this roster. Just have to show it. Absolutely. Quantrell is in the house. He says, JC, I heard Causey Barnes' spring film was so elite he could challenge for a starting spot. Is that true? Starting? He'd have to be awfully good to beat out Collier or Swain. In the two deep and in the rotation? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, right now, it's him and Leach and Lewis until Joe Lewis Solomon gets healthy. And, you know, Joe Lewis hadn't really made that push during his time here. Well, you know, we keep waiting for it. They didn't want him to leave. Remember that day he got in the portal and then said, no, I'm staying.
Yeah.
So who knows? Harrison says College game day is in Baton Rouge for Clemson LSU week one. They're not gonna be able to get enough of the Lane Kiffin story this year.
Oh, it's going to be all Kiffin all the time on, you know,
Kiffin Vision.
Yeah, for Disney. Be surprised if he's not the Grand Marshal of some sort of parade at Disney World a few times this year.
Yeah, just because he is. JDS says Wendy's used to rock. Junior bacon, 5 spicy nuggets, and a side salad with ranch was $3. That would cost $15 today. The spicy chicken was great. Absolutely. The real USC chimes in. Why couldn't this be a possibility? Kevin Schnall as head coach, assistant head coach Chris Lemonis, and pitching coach Matt Williams. I think if it's Schnall, he's going to bring his staff from Coastal, which would include Matt Williams. But Chris Lemonis, my understanding, is an elite recruiter. Blake says the RPO game has got to get better. There wasn't much last year. But with Loggins, there were way too many fumbles on the exchange with Rocket and Oscar. Yeah, they got to get that cleaned up. Luckily, a great many of them were recovered by the offense, in specific the Kentucky game. Yeah, the Kentucky game. That was Lenora Sellers didn't hold on to the ball all that well for a long time. He got better at it last year. I know people that saw the Alabama game are going to think I'm crazy. That wasn't him just losing it like he was, though. That was I feel like the kid thought he was down because he was on top of a pile. And in football, if you're not on the ground, you're not down. So JD says how Sellers navigates the RPOs and the short passing games. My biggest concern, I just haven't seen Sellers run this type of offense yet. Throwing short passes on time is a huge part of it. Behind RPO, I would tell you that. I will tell you that's probably the second thing he's working on. There just wasn't a lot of it in the offenses the last 2 years, but when they did try to do it, like when Furry took over, sometimes those horizontal passes would sail a little bit, man. That's dangerous.
Yeah, get a little high, yeah. Or those little short or intermediate routes would. Nah.
So,
it was an adventure at times.
Kendall Browles and Torian Gray. That's a good group over there.
Oh.
Blake pictures Lance as a Lord of the Rings figure.
Yes. The fat one. The fat one.
He's calling Sean Astin fat. Sean Astin gets on my nerve, by the way.
Really? Really? All right.
As an actor, like, okay, Goonies is one of my favorite movies of all time. His character, and he's the main character. Down here, this is our time.
Yeah, right. It's our time down here.
I mean, like, Mouth was cooler to me. And the gadget guy, Data.
Mm-hmm.
Slick Shoes.
That's right. Slick Shoes. $50 bill. $50 bill.
I'd take the Fratellis over Sean Astin. And then Lord of the Rings. And then he was the... Now, the real Rudy apparently is just this big butthole. Like, folks around Chicago know him. And like, know him personally. Rudy Ruger. And they run into him. That guy's a jerk.
Yeah, I can't stand that guy.
That guy is just the biggest butthead of all. Give me a beef. Gregor goes, hey, you guys.
Love it.
Harrison says, Sam is the true hero of Lord of the Rings. I know. So why did they get... Now, I'll tell you the funny... what movie was it? Was it 50 First Dates? Where he's the brother that... Like the tough guy brother?
Oh, yes. That was a really good role. Yes.
He was very good.
A juiced up meathead brother or whatever.
Yes. I will give Sean Astin credit for that. Wendy's lost the plot when they ditched the yellow packaging. So, still enjoy a Baconator, though, when I want heartburn. JD says he heard they're making a Goonies, too.
Oh, no.
I would love for them to make a Goonies, too. But you know what? There's like... I got suckered in because you have AI and all these creative video editors out there that splice things together. So one day I called my wife. I was super duper excited because there's a trailer for a Back to the Future 4 that had some modern. And I was like, yes. It's just like, what if, man? Yeah, it's like, I think it's just like, oh, yeah, it's great. It's like, well, are they making one? No, but what if?
But what if?
Why do you have to play with my emotions?
That's right. Don't play with my emotions. Don't
play with my emotions. They need to make a sequel to ALF. They need to have a miniseries.
Oh, with all the UFO stuff that's been happening around here, you'd think they'd do it.
The last episode of ALF was so sad and empty.
Yeah.
And that was, and it ended. Then they pulled it off there. You see TV people, like, they screwed with my childhood, and now they're screwing with the sport I love. Morons.
Yeah.
Morons. Morons they are.
Morons.
Oh, TD says, can Donati afford to wait till the baseball season's completely over to make this hire? Does he need to hire someone sooner than that to start rebuilding this roster? That's an interesting question. I don't think you got to wait till – I mean, unless the guy you're hiring – it would have probably been decided by then is in the College World Series.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any need to do that. I think time is of the essence. The portal opens June 1st, open for 30 days. You got to go get after it. But I don't, you know, I think sometimes that stuff's, I think it's more important TD Null to get it right than to. Now, look, like Paul Maneri kind of took his sweet time.
Yeah, that was that one getting kind of over.
You need somebody that's going to hit the ground running, mm-hmm. you know, maybe has some connections. But a lot of folks are out there saying you need a head coach so they can bring their guys with them. I'll have two counters to that. Number one, that's a little overrated. Like Brian O'Connor, we were talking about this yesterday. I don't remember if I was talking to Jamie on the phone or we were on the air. But anyway, he brought some guys, but the majority of those guys were recruited by Lemonis, and he, you know, from Virginia. That's a big hire an SEC school made lately. And he brought some players with it. I mean, it's true. You know, a lot of times it's the assistant coaches that have the relationships. So, I mean, who's to say that if you go hire Will Coggin, that he ain't going to, number one, be able to come quicker because they, you know, he's not actually coach. And number two, that when Georgia's season ends, that, you know, you get three or four of those guys. Who knows? TD says, referring to Shaw mainly if he wants the job, we wait, if not, move on to the next. He's the only one I'd wait that long on. Yeah, what I believe, and this is semi-informed, is that the Shaw thing will be kind of played out one way or the other before it's an issue.
Relatively quickly.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know either, but.
Here's the thing. I think he's a fantastic coach. This is his second year as a head coach. I mean, I like him, and I think he's absolutely a target. And if he takes the job, Gamecock fans will be happy, and I'll be happy, you know. But I just I believe he's a winner, and all that. I don't necessarily think that's the only path to Carolina. Not just being not horrible again, but getting back to being one of the better programs in the SEC. I don't think that's the only path, you know, in my opinion. It's not Schnall or bust. It is in the minds of some people because that's their favorite coach and who they think they should hire. And hey, I'm here for it. I get it, you know, but the reality is that's not the only good guy out there they could go get. That I believe that had a chance to win. And there's no guarantee that Kevin Schnall would come in here and win. It's the SEC. It's different. You got to have resources and everything else these days. JDS says they had huge plans for Alf, but the creator went crazy. All right. Here's some scoop.
Yeah. Right? Here we are. Yeah. I like this.
JDS has some Alf scoop.
Yes.
They had huge play. All right, so I call them morons, but I've got to eat my words now, Phil, because J Diz has the scoop on the Alf. The emptiness of the last episode of
Alf. They can still be morons.
They probably are. All right, so they had huge plans for Alf, but the creator went crazy. He insisted that they treat Alf like he was real all the time. The set had pits for the puppeteer. Actors kept falling into the pits. Willie, hey Willie,
hey Willie,
you fell in a hole, ha! Huh? Before you get up for that final snack, I want you to know we'll be right back, ha! Huh? Willie, from Alf.
It's got to be tough working with puppets, you know. I mean,
it's got to be tough working with Marlon Brando too. Speaking of puppets,
yeah,
he was in this movie called The Heist or The Score with Ed Norton and De Niro. It was one of the last things he ever did. And Frank Oz, who is the voice of Kermit, the voice of Grover and Fozzie Bear. Yeah.
Frank Oz, iconic.
Iconic voice actor, right? And he does little ill directing, you know? My man's a director.
That's right.
And they said Brando refused to learn his lines. Like, that's not a new thing. And kept calling Frank Oz Miss Piggy. Yeah, Miss Piggy is going to direct in here. He had like this little bit part. And he said De Niro had to stand behind the camera and hold up the lines for him and get all upset. Dude, imagine working with Marlon Brando. Sometimes I feel like I'm the Marlon Brando of the show.
I feel like Marlon Brando, like, wasn't it Island of Dr. Moreau, where he and Val Kilmer just hated each other.
Oh, nobody liked working with him. The cast for The Godfather did, But there was like a lot of respect for that. But like, yeah. He did, remember he was Jor-El in Superman?
Right. Yeah. Yes.
He got paid $1.5 million, which in that time was big money. 10 minutes of airtime.
So the wife and I were like, yeah, because that came up. They were like, well, if you could only watch movies with one actor in them for the rest of your life, which actor do you pick to watch their movies? And I was like, well, you know, there's a lot to be said for Brando there, because then do you even get Superman, you know?
and like back in the day, On the Waterfront was a great movie. You get Guys and Dolls with him and Frank Sinatra.
Right, yeah.
Can you imagine that, the being like working on that movie? Guys and Dolls.
Yeah.
With Frank Sinatra and Marlon Brando as the leads.
Both at the peak, you know, right? Whoa. Yeah.
All right, one more thing from TD Noel before we get out of here. I agree with you there, JC. He's got it done at elite level extremely fast with guys who weren't slobbered over in recruiting. All he has here in Myrtle Beach is the beach and babes for recruiting. Yeah, that's true. You know, Coastal's a good job, though. The community gets out and supports it. And all that good stuff. But I think he'd be quite good. I have no problem with him being the leading candidate and all that. This one, I think it's just too important to get it right. And maybe I'm naive, but I think there's more than one option out there too. I think there's a large variety of options.
Yeah.
And I'll end with this. Craig says, JC would only watch movies with Jason Statham. I just want to live a quiet life. Just leave me alone.
Just cast Jason Statham in the new Goonies movie and just let it.
The new Goonies movie. Jason Statham is living in the Goon docks.
That's right.
He's a carpenter. and the Fratellis come by and he's always looking over there. Like when Sloth is looking out the window, he says, hey, it's a weird bloke over there. And then one day, like the Fratellis come by and Mama Fratelli looks out the van and looks at one of the kids, it's like gives them a dirty look like they're going to kidnap him. He's like, hey, I just want you to leave. And he's like, what are you gonna do about it, Owen? And I'm sorry, same actress was.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but just throw Mama from the train.
What are you going to do about it?
You see like the brothers get out of jail and then they do something to Sloth and then the gang gets back together, but they got Jason Statham behind him now too, because he took a shine to him. Helped him be a
they go missing. I guess I'm gonna go, like, where are you going, Jason Statham character? I guess I'm going to look for One-Eyed Willie.
Yes.
Yeah. And instead of Sloth, it's Hey, you guys. Jason Statham.
Well, that's how you enter it. You drop that, right? Once like the group gets separated, you know, and then they come back together and he sees them first. And so, you know, to announce himself, hey, you guys.
Hey, you guys. Mama Fratelli, Jason Statham. What are you going to do about it? You don't want to know.
Yeah, I want to know.
Just move along, please. I'm just here building a deck for these fine people. I just want to live a quiet life. All right. I guess the title of today's episode is Jason Statham in Goonies 2.
That's right. Yeah. Goonies 2, starring Jason Statham.
All right. Made it through Terrible Tuesday. Jamie and Robinson's supposed to be. We didn't even talk about him today.
Yeah.
Fast, speedy receiver for Pennsylvania. Supposed to commit today. I think it will be the Gamecocks. Don't forget Braden Tyson, 4-star running back, committing Friday. Get all that coverage on thebigspur.com, GamecockCentral.com. You can also type in inside the Gamecocks.com and get there, but it's thebigspur.com 3.0. Now on the On3 Network. Join today for $1. Take you all the way up through fall camp football. So you get through the baseball coaching search and everything else. Jamie's got an article up. Lots of good stuff there. We'll have more coverage of that moving forward. Wes Mitchell, Chris Clark, Kevin Miller, Chris Wellbaum on women's basketball. If you're a women's basketball fan, Gamecock Central has a lot of great stuff. Message board for fams. Lots of good stuff. So check all that out. In the meantime, Thank you for listening to us. We'll be back tomorrow, Wide Open Wednesday. For Phil Mullinax, this is JC Sherbert. It's been the show. Have a good one.